Coming up on today's show...
I knew what the church taught. I knew what Jesus was calling me. I chose to spit in Jesus' face over and over again when I chose my lustful desires or my desire to party or impress people over, you know, my need to, you know, honor God. And so I remember in the middle of the night, I was just reading that. That thought struck me, and I just started weeping.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website, as I hope you know by now, is catholicsportsradio.net, or .com, actually. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. Social media for this show is as follows: Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. Additionally, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that's immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. The final day of the 2024 NFL regular season pitted the Chicago Bears against the Green Bay Packers. This, of course, is a long and storied rivalry, meaning division foes and years of animosity, grudge matches between two storied franchises. The emotion this time would include Chicago's frustration of knowing that would be their last game, being out of the playoffs, and thus a chance to pull out all the stops as their opponent did prepare to move on to the postseason. Despite that tension between these two legacy teams, a moment of good sportsmanship and faith stole the headlines. Green Bay's Christian Watson went down to the field with an injury, and immediately next to him, Chicago's Jalen Johnson immediately waved his arm to summon trainers out onto the field, and then right away dropped to one knee, rested one hand on his opponent, and went directly to prayer. This, my friends, is what we are called to. We know so from the New Testament. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 44 says, quote, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played tennis and beach volleyball in high school and the latter when he was a student athlete at Texas State University. Present day, he participates in mixed martial arts, lifting weights, hiking, and doing Spartan races. He is co-founder of and fitness director for HyperoFit, whose mission is to bring a technically excellent and authentically Catholic approach to personal training. He also has a story about his own reversion to the Catholic faith, which we will hear about today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Chase Kraus.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, how's it going?
Chase, thank you so much for making time to talk with me today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. You bet. This is one of those instances where I do not know the answer. So, Chase, start us off by sharing where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I'm from Texas originally, so the Houston area. There's, you know, my mom and dad and me and my older sister. Eventually, my parents did get separated and got married to different people. Now I have a mom and a stepdad with two other little siblings, and a dad and a stepmom with two other little siblings. So, bigger family now, but yeah, Houston area originally.
Before all that, I don't know the answer to this one either, but was that, in fact, a Catholic household when you were young before what you just described?
No. So my dad's a loosely non-denominational agnostic, and my mom growing up was more of like a cultural Mexican Catholic, but she had her reversion later in life. So growing up, we were nominally Catholic, but not practicing by any means.
Interesting, interesting. And audience, you know that the first two questions are the same every week. And guess what? We get a different answer every week. And I hope you appreciate those. I hope you're as curious as I am when I ask those. And so, again, the foundation's been laid here for what I know is going to be some interesting stories from Chase. Tell us about your initial foray into sports. What age were you? How did you get started? And which sport or sports, plural, did you play when you were young?
Yeah, so growing up in Texas, you kind of just play a little bit of everything. So my dad was really into sports when he was in high school and he was younger. And so, yeah, growing up, I played baseball, basketball, tennis, football. Never really played soccer, never was into that. And then going into middle school, that's when I started to kind of, hammer down and kind of pick something. And I had started playing tennis a little bit earlier. And so I played tennis and football in middle school. My dad actually was a semi-professional beach volleyball player. So I
Wow.
was kind of playing with that a little bit when I was in middle school, but nothing too seriously. And then by the time I got to high school, I settled on tennis. So that was kind of my main sport in high school, and then eventually beach volleyball.
Beach volleyball, we just heard obviously your dad's influence, although I'm going to take my hat off right now to the schools that you attended that they had beach volleyball back then. Tennis, though, what was the initial attraction that drew you to that sport?
Yeah, so my dad played that as well, not at a semi-professional level, but just he played it in high school. And I had a really close cousin of mine. He was older than me. He was probably in his 20s when I was a kid, and he was a tennis pro at a local racket club. And so during the summers, I lived at the racket club. And so I would help him kind of run the club. I'd help him string rackets. And I got to go to lessons for free because, he was my cousin and he was one of the pros there. And so for my parents, it was like free daycare. And for me, it was something to do in the summer. I watched a lot of Price is Right while I strung rackets, but that was kind of it. I just kind of grew up around it, and I lived at that racket club for a long time, many summers there. And yeah, so my cousin and then my dad were the big influences there. And it was just, by the time I was in middle school, I hit a growth spurt. But I was, I'm tall, but I'm not super tall. I'm fast, but not quite, track and field fast. And most of my family are more like hand-eye coordination sports guys, tennis kind of just made sense.
After high school, you attended Texas State University, which I mentioned in the intro. Tell us about what your faith life looked like at that point.
Oh yeah, no, it just didn't exist. So, I mean, I got confirmed when I was in high school. My mom made me go through the confirmation process. It's kind of just like a checkbox kind of thing. And I kind of got a little bit more into my faith going into my junior and senior year. I'd met some friends at the local church. By that point, I was already getting to partying and drinking. And at first, I didn't realize that those are two contradictory things, like trying to live out your faith and, drunkenness and debauchery, basically. But by the time I got to college, I was just kind of sick of trying to navigate two different worlds. That's when I knew, what I was doing wasn't like cool with the church and wasn't kosher, for lack of a better word. And so by the time I got to Texas State, all I really cared about was playing beach volleyball, going to parties, and trying to get the prettiest girlfriend I could, really. Kind of the dumb classic jock approach to school. And yeah, so I didn't go to mass, I didn't do anything my first year at Texas State. Yeah, so it was all about, sports, girls, and parties, basically, that first year.
Let's jump back to sports. You played tennis and beach volleyball in high school, and as we just heard, you played beach volleyball in college. Were either one of those something that you saw yourself maybe making a career out of, say playing as a pro or on the national team or maybe coaching?
Yeah, so I mean, tennis was, I mean, everything for me for a number of years. I mean, I was playing on average like 2 to 4 hours a day. Me and my
Whoa.
doubles partner were ranked number four in the state of Texas at one point,
Whoa.
in doubles. And colleges started emailing me and my parents probably my sophomore year, going into my junior year. That's when I started getting a little bit more attention. But then, yeah, unfortunately, my junior year, I threw out my rotator cuff in a tournament. And eventually I got back to, I recovered the skill and I recovered enough from the injury to get back into the sport. But unfortunately, the damage to my rotator cuff was basically chronic and permanent to where my rotator cuff would fatigue during tournaments. And so by the end of my junior year, I was playing at the same caliber, but I'd be about halfway through tournaments and my shoulder just couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't hang. And so that's when I knew just my tennis career was basically done at that point. It was also really discouraging, when you put so much work into something and then, the injury happens. And that's when I definitely, when I got more into beach volleyball, even though there's still that rotator cuff movement there, you're not holding a racket. And so I found it much more doable. And so I fell in love, even more in love with beach volleyball. And it was cool because my dad was also my coach, which is always a fun thing. And so, so that's when that transition really happened. But yeah, at first I thought I was going to go to college. I thought I was going to do it as a, maybe, I don't know if as a career, but something very serious, and God had other plans. So.
Exactly. I was thinking audience of 2 weeks ago when Alex DiVerti talked about how he went to Bradley University and trained harder and thought he was running faster and barely added any time at all. And we talked on that episode. If you didn't hear it, go back and listen about these gifts and talents that the Lord had blessed him with. Why wouldn't God give him the talent to see more increase in his time? And he said he came to realize there are bigger things in life than running fast around a track. And so in Chase's case, you're hearing something very similar because this was something, Chase, that you were extremely passionate about. And obviously, God gave you tremendous gifts and talents in tennis, but that's not what he had planned for you.
No, not at all. And praise God for that. But, when you're a kid and you're in sports, you have that tunnel vision, right? But looking back, hindsight's 20/20. But my first existential crisis moment was when I was a 16-year-old, which is kind of funny. But
Audience, Chase has a reversion story, praise God. As I mentioned when I brought him on, you heard him talk about falling away from the faith when he went to college. These are powerful stories that we get to hear on Catholic Sports Radio. Great testimony from so many guests, and example after example of how the Lord is always waiting for us with open arms. It makes me think of the Brandon Heath song, Wait and See, where he sings, "He's not finished with me yet." Chase is going to share his story with us, but this morning I had breakfast with a dear, sweet friend of mine, a true sister in Christ. She told me that her daddy used to say, "When the poor man gives to the rich man, he is no longer poor." It's easy to fall into the trap that is perception. You think other people are rich, you get challenged, and you think you are poor. You struggle with those who tell you it's not your money, it's God's money. The fact is, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and by our baptism, we are called to lift up the name of the Lord from whom all good things come. I ask you to prayerfully consider my ministry as part of your tithing so that together we can keep Catholic Sports Radio growing and reaching more people who need to hear powerful stories like those of Chase Krause and others who've shared their testimony before him. Through this ministry, we are supporting one another in Christ's name. As the body of Christ, we have the opportunity to help bring others closer to the Lord through this unique mix of faith and sports. The blue Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. Alternatively, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. And then, regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check. With your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you've heard me do in the past when a guest or a listener sends in a contribution. Or, as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. Remember, this is neither my full nor my part-time job, so I don't get any income for doing this show. That means that I have to try to find some way out of my own pocket to cover any and all expenses associated with operating this ministry. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Chase, before that, we heard about, yes, the rotator cuff injury, but you had mentioned when talking about Texas State University that your faith was non-existent. So share with us now about your reversion story.
Yeah, sure. So basically, yeah, my whole first year at Texas State, I was never an atheist, right? I was never agnostic. I was always quote unquote Catholic. It was not part of my life at all. I didn't give it much thought here or there. And then I moved home after my first year of college, and just like all freshmen, you couldn't live on dorms over the summer kind of thing. And then a few weeks went by, nothing crazy happened, but then eventually I was just really bored one day. This is before we had, streaming and stuff like that, so I couldn't just watch anything I wanted. It was just, and nothing was on TV, and I was just really bored, and I was in my room kind of just trying to find something to do, and there was a small stack of books on my nightstand, and so I was kind of just flipping through it, and then one book stood out to me because it wasn't mine, and I knew it wasn't mine, but an old youth group friend of mine from high school, his dad had let me borrow it, and so I'm like, oh, this is my book, I should like read it and give it back to him. And the book was called Rediscover Catholicism by Matthew Kelly. And so I just started reading it just casually. Like, once again, I was never agnostic. I was never opposed to the faith or anything. But if you ever read the book, it's a super easy read. And Kelly's a great writer. So a few weeks go by, and then eventually I get to chapter 6, which is the best version of yourself chapter. And you start talking about what that means. And so it kind of gets to the point, like, it's to be a saint. And so I was like, thinking back to my youth group days, it's like, okay, what does it mean? Like, what's a saint again? And so it's like, I was like, is it like an auto into heaven when you die kind of deal? And so then the next thought struck me, and this was the Holy Spirit really speaking to me, which was, if I died right now, where would I be? And for 19-year-old Chase, that was a terrifying question because at that point, I knew what I was doing was wrong. Right? I knew the right and the wrong, right? I knew what the church taught. I knew what Jesus was calling me. I chose to spit in Jesus' face over and over again when I chose my lustful desires or my desire to party or impress people over, my need to, honor God. And so I remember middle of the night, I was just reading that thought struck me, and I just started weeping, right? The gift of holy tears, right? I started weeping and weeping, and I prayed my first ever like genuine prayer. And that prayer was, Lord, I'm sorry, right? God, I'm so sorry. Because it was the first time I knew, like really knew and experienced like that Jesus was real and that he loved me and that I should be striving more and more to do everything I can to honor, love, and serve him. And so didn't really know what to do. So I called up one of my old high school buddies from youth group, and like good old Texas boys would do, we met at Whataburger at 1 o'clock in the morning, and just kind of shared everything, and my eyes were still red from when I was crying, and praise God, he encouraged me to call our local pastor who I'd known since, I was in middle school the next day to try to get into confession. And praise God, he's a great priest. And the next day I called him and he dropped everything that was on his calendar and he said, come to the church. And he spent like 2 hours with me in the church, just helping me walk through
Amazing.
this confession. So I didn't really know what I was going to do. And
Amazing.
yeah, so that was the summer of 2012. And then 2 months later, I found myself serving with Net Ministries of Canada because God just put this fire in my heart to serve him. And so I wanted to tell others about his mercy. And so I became a missionary. And while I was a missionary, that's when I really fell in love with theology and knowledge for the first time. And that's when I knew I wanted to go back to school and study it more formally.
I have questions. That's amazing. That's amazing. You mentioned in there the pastor and probably known him since middle school. We didn't cover this, but did you attend Catholic schools when you were young, even though you were only a Catholic in quotation marks, or is it, well, he was the priest at my local parish, but no, I wasn't going to Catholic schools.
I was public school my whole life until, college. And so he was the local pastor at my local parish. So like I said, my mom, made me go to church and she signed me up for confirmation and, we checked that box. And praise God, my mom eventually actually had her reversion through Acts Ministries when I was in high school. Now actually my stepdad's about to be ordained a deacon next month and my mom works for the church full time. So yeah, God
Wow.
works in mysterious ways, but he's just the parish priest I grew up with primarily and kind of knew and through high school and stuff. So
And
yeah.
so, audience, you heard Texas State University, Chase's faith life was non-existent. And now we're all the way to the point where we're at in his story that you've been hearing. And it continues, Chase, to where, tell the audience, I don't want to steal your thunder about your master's degree and the full-time ministry work that you did.
Yeah, so after my couple years of missionary work, I eventually went to a school called John Paul the Great Catholic University to finish my undergrad. So I got an undergrad degree in what was called the New Evangelization was the name of the degree, which was essentially a theology and a philosophy degree where you took some media classes as well. And while I was there, I worked as a local youth minister for a parish, and eventually I stayed there for my master's. So I did my master's in biblical theology, and while during my master's, I was the full-time director of campus ministry there. During my undergrads where I met my now wife. And so when I finished my master's, she graduated as well. And then we got married. I ended up getting a job for the Archdiocese of New York City. So we went from San Diego, California, all the way to New York City my wife was a film acting major, and so she wanted to pursue a career in acting. And then I got a job at the Arch, so I started working for the young adult office out
Wow.
there. And
Outstanding.
yeah, so.
Outstanding. Outstanding. And fast forward to present day, and you are co-founder of and fitness director for HyperoFit. I gave the 12-word description of it in the intro. Tell us in your own words about it, since it clearly is a mix of faith and sports.
So HyperoFit, we're the world's first Catholic-based personal training and nutrition coaching company. So I started HyperoFit, we launched in 2020, and actually launched it right after we moved back to Texas from New York, after we live in Texas now. So yeah, we're a group of online Catholic personal trainers and nutrition coaches. And so I started HyperoFit because while I was working for the Archdiocese, I got into personal training originally just kind of as a side gig. New York City is expensive, but I quickly realized that I really loved working with people in this way, but I really hated working for a secular gym like I was working at when I was there. And I was forced to ask the question, why do I care so much about exercise and nutrition? Is it my inner Americana coming out, or is it my inner Catholic? And so I turned back to Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body, who I'd studied during my master's pretty extensively. And sure enough, pretty early on in Audience 15 of Theology of the Body, he basically says, and I'll paraphrase it here, he quotes Gaudium et Spes, where it says, man finds himself through a sincere gift of self. But then what he adds to it is, while that's true, you can't give what you don't have. So we must strive for self-mastery for the sake of self-gift. And so that was my light bulb moment, right? It's the point in my life is to, give myself fully, and like Jesus did on the cross to the Father, well, I can't give what I don't have. And so when it comes to exercise and nutritional discipline, we view it HyperoFit, and we teach our clients that it's essentially just the modern day asceticism. It can be a tool of the modern day ascetic where we have to conquer ourselves physically in order to fully give ourselves in our vocation, whether priest, layperson, whatever. And so HyperoFit, we have clients all over the world, all over the country. Our coaches are all over the country. We have an app in the App Store, so we work with people for tailor-made exercise programs, nutrition coaching, lifestyle coaching, trying to help build up the church to be as healthy and as holy as possible. So yeah, we're this weird combination of like business and ministry and sports kind of thing, so.
I have some follow-up questions, though. Number one is when you were talking about how you got the idea, how you conceptualized HyperoFit, it made me wonder, did any of the rotator cuff injury factor into this? Did you look back at what you were doing or weren't doing back then and, had that hindsight 2020 moment where you said, if I was doing X, that might not have happened, and thus you kind of incorporate that into HyperoFit?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, when I was really serious about tennis, I ran a lot. I played tennis a lot, and I lifted sporadically, but not consistently. And so, once I got really into personal training and lifting really consistently, I knew basically off the gate, like, yeah, if my coach had regimented a lifting program, and then actually, if I actually had stuck to it, it probably would have, saved my rotator cuff at the end of the day. There's a few other, factors involved from like a tennis perspective that I could have tweaked, look in hindsight, but I didn't do resistance training as aggressively or as consistently as I really should have been, considering how much wear and tear I was putting on my body with tennis. So if I could talk to my high school self, like, yo, lift weights, but just nobody ever really told me to do it.
Right, you can't talk to your high school self, but you can talk to HyperoFit clients and say, this is my own personal experience. Here's what happened to me. So when I'm telling you, Joe, or I'm telling you, Jane, that this is why you need to be consistent, here's what it's based on. This is what could happen if you don't. That way, it's kind of you're practicing what you preach. You're not just kind of throwing out a concept. You're speaking from experience. Another question I have in audience, I'm going to put a link on the show page for Chase's episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net over to the HyperoFit website. But Chase, you just said we have clients all over the world. You have a website, you have an app. So clearly that means that you can work with people remotely. I have two questions, though. One is there such a thing as, oh, yeah, we also work with people in person at a local gym here in Texas? And the other question is, does someone have to be Catholic to use HyperoFit, or could they be, I'm just going to say, non-denominational Christian and still benefit from it?
Yeah, so we used to offer more in-person things, but as we've grown and as we've developed, basically 100% of our work we do with clients happens through our app and
Okay.
through that way.
Okay.
And yeah, it's just we can help more people, and it's way more affordable because in-person training, the average cost these days for in-person training is somewhere between $75 to $150 for a workout, right? Just for an hour of your time, it's like $100 a pop. And so I wanted to work with people from all over the place and all backgrounds, but I wanted to have something where, lay Catholics in ministry or priests and religious could still afford to do it. And praise God, about a third of our clients are actually priests, which is pretty cool.
Whoa.
And we've partnered with them, some organizations and stuff to help more. And so when it comes to who we work with, I currently have non-Catholic but Christian clients. I've had an atheist client in the past before. Every time I tell a non-Catholic client, is like, hey, listen, we're authentically Catholic, but we're technically excellent. So what that means is I'm not going to give you like, a rosary push-up workout or something like that. I'm going to give you an exercise program that's based on the latest science data and efficiency and what, based on what you have at your disposal, any kind of limitations. It's going to be a technically excellent workout. But I'm also going to pray with you and for you every time we talk, and I'm going to pray for you every day. And I'm also going to keep bringing you back to our why, which is we're doing this not for just like to look sexy or have a six pack or something like that, but rather to, conquer ourselves so we can better give and serve others. So I'm always going to bring my clients back to that. I was like, I don't care who you are, I'm going to talk about it, especially if I feel like we need to talk about it. So
Beautiful.
yeah, that's kind of the approach we take. But yeah, we work with people. I mean, 95% of our clients are Catholic, obviously, but yeah, we have some non-Catholic clients that we work with.
Beautiful, beautiful. And audience, the reason I ask Chase that question is I always challenge myself to remind people that you do not have to be Catholic to listen to Catholic Sports Radio. It's not that you're going to listen and say, I don't understand what they're talking about because I'm not Catholic. So, because I challenge myself to think of that and be conscious of it, I wondered, does Chase do the same thing? And you just heard his answer. Chase, let's close by having you share with us, you mentioned her briefly, but about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, my wife's name is Viva. We met in college. We got married in 2018, and we have three kids. So my oldest daughter is Carlina, then we have a son, Elijah, and we have a daughter, Stella. So yeah, so married, three kids, and we're rocking and rolling. And Viva actually runs the company with me. So she runs HyperFit with me. She's another certified personal trainer and nutrition coach as well. And so this is a bit of a family affair. And so she helps me, especially with our web design and social media and all that good stuff too.
And the ages of your children?
So our oldest is 5 and a half, and then our boy just turned 4, and then Stella, our youngest, is 1.5 years. So we're in the throes of toddlerhood.
Beautiful, beautiful. Chase, great testimony and congratulations, HyperFit, the work that you're doing for the kingdom. Thank you for that, and thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Yeah, of course. Thanks again for having me, Bruce.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Audience, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer and do it together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, CATH, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.